send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand, absolutely free. Analysis and opinion so honest, it's just a matter of time before they get themselves in trouble. Baseball Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
All right, welcome to Baseball Central, the week of the trade deadline edition, the non-waiver trade deadline edition of Baseball Central. Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker for your listening and viewing pleasure. Actually, we could call it the Who's on Third edition.
Huh.
Your Toronto Blue Jays losing to the Seattle Mariners yesterday. 3-3 in a six-game road trip. That's just not good enough. 50-50. At this point in the season, that's just not good enough. If you're a baseball team and you're trying to force your general manager's hand at the trade deadline, sorry, boys, you're not doing a good job of it.
Well, I mean, I think you're stating the obvious there. It's going into Seattle, you thought, besides King Felix game, you got a real good chance of taking two out of three.
And usually they beat King Felix, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, that... It's the Jays have success against King Felix. I wasn't looking at that game. I agree with you. He's a good pitcher. He's a great pitcher. But I wasn't looking at that game and saying, put that in the loss call. Anyhow.
We'll say this. There's some holes on the Blue Jays teams that need to be, need to be taken care of. I guess we're just going to state the obvious all day today for the next 45 minutes here.
No, the Jays are 6.5 back. They're 3 out of the wild card. And it seems like, you know, pitchers that the Jays have been linked to as we approach a trade deadline, Scott Kazmir, Johnny Cueto. Obviously, they went elsewhere. Johnny Cueto going to Kansas City in the weekend for 3 prospects, 1 really good prospect, Brandon Finnegan. And Scott Kazmir going to the Houston Astros on Friday for, you know, a bunch of okay stuff. It's basically the best way to put it.
Sure.
It's not like the Astros backed up the truck and unloaded their farm system, which is a scary thought because the Astros still have some players to trade, prospects to trade if they want to make a really big move. And the Blue Jays' explanation for Scott Kazmir, and it was something I totally agreed with, was, you know, this is a guy whose arm could fall off tomorrow, essentially. You're not going to trade Daniel Norris or Marcus Stroman for a guy like that. Maybe you trade Matt Boyd. You're not going to trade Norris or Stroman. It's that simple. Johnny Cueto, a little different. Again, a lot of question marks surrounding Johnny Cueto's health. Kind of a bizarre year because just when you wonder what's going on with him, he comes back and pitches an impressive game. But, again, Johnny Cueto's a rental. If you're the Blue Jays, and you have to give up 3 pitching prospects for Johnny Cueto. Again, if Matt Boyd is the centerpiece of the deal, I'm okay with that. If it's just Daniel Norris, I'm okay with that. Right. But now if you're talking about Daniel Norris and a couple other guys, no, not for rental. I'm sorry. Not for rental who, again, may not turn out to be healthy. And, you know, we'll talk about the game. I want to get the game, but we got to talk about these trades because, of course, Twitter exploded as soon as Kansas City made the steal. Let's keep in mind that the Kansas City Royals are looking to add to a team that has a 7.5 game lead, that has a great bullpen, that went to the World Series last year. If I'm the Kansas City Royals and I've got all that young pitching, you know what? I would make that deal for Cueto. Johnny Cueto doesn't get Kansas City into the playoffs. Johnny Cueto gets Kansas City through a round in the playoffs. Johnny Cueto might get Kansas City to 7 games of the World Series again. There's a big difference in that compared to trading for a guy who might allow you to close the 6.5 game gap with the team in front of you.
So it makes sense, is what you're saying.
It makes a lot of sense for Kansas City. It makes no sense for the Toronto Blue Jays to go out and add a rental pitcher at the expense of a guy who can help them next year. And I've been very clear about this, and I threw a column up in sportsnet.ca. It'll be up there. Yeah, here's the thing. Alex Anthopoulos needs the same thing right now that he's going to need in the offseason. He needs another starting pitcher. So if you can go out and make a deal right now and get a starting pitcher who's going to be around for a couple of years, then do it. And if it involves trading one of your position players, then at least consider it.
Well, I think right now, if you're going to do it, trading one of your big guys on the offensive side of the ball right now would be the time to go.
Yeah, and it's, you know, you're neither a seller nor a buyer necessarily right now.
Yeah.
You're building still. And you're still trying to build this team. And I understand people are going to say you've wasted a great offensive performance. You know what? Right. You've wasted a great offensive performance all year.
Yep.
If it was that important to you as a general manager, as an organization, to, boy, to really get behind this record-breaking offense, then you would have made a freaking deal 6 weeks ago. Because you know what? What you needed 6 weeks ago is what you need right now.
Yep.
And that's where I come down on it.
What makes a lot of sense. So what do you do now? If you're the Blue Jays and you're Alex, it looks like if you're not going to go out and get one of those guys, I've said it all along, if you're going to get somebody, to me it would have made a lot of sense to get a guy in the back end of your bullpen to make it longer, shorten games, take your chances with the five guys you got, and then you see Drew Hutchison go out and do what he does. That's the one huge disappointment. We understand that, but I'm saying—
You've shortened your bullpen.
Of course.
With Aaron Sanchez.
But
you don't need to make a trade. You've done that. You've accomplished that.
Well, what do you do now? So basically what you're saying is you do nothing.
You
go from the future. Well, you go for the future. So that means you call guys up. You're going to have to figure one way or the other on which way you're going here.
You need to add a starting pitcher to have any shot this year. You need to add a starting pitcher for next year. It's not that complicated.
Well, it's not.
Alex has to make a trade to add a good starting pitcher.
It's not just going
to
take Daniel Norris. We've seen the
I'm saying you make a trade
that Daniel Norris are having.
I'm not talking about Daniel Norris. I'm saying you make a trade to get somebody in here with a couple of years major league experience. I'm not talking about Daniel Norris. I want it to be so that Daniel Norris has to earn a spot in the team next year. That's what I want. I want that to me is a perfect scenario. I don't want to go into next spring with Daniel Norris guaranteed a spot in the rotation.
How would you guarantee it with the way Drew's pitched this year? He's going to have to be the same way.
It's another factor.
Going into, now you have two spots that are open, at least two spots. Because Burley, who knows what's going to happen with Dickey.
I'm going to say this right now. Dickey's coming back next year. $12 million a year for 200 innings. He's not going anywhere. Unless it's a trade. Unless it's a trade and he's part of the deal and you get another pitcher return. But Ari Dickey's not going anywhere.
Right.
You're not going to lose Ari Dickey and Mark Burley in the same offseason. That's just stupid.
There you go.
That's stupid. So, yeah, you need another starting pitcher, at least one. And if you can get it now, great. And I might be at the point now where I'm considering using somebody in the 25-man roster to get it.
So
if the run differential is as great as it is, then maybe I trade Edwin, who's a 10-5 guy. But right. Maybe I trade Edwin. I don't back up the truck, but maybe I'll look at trading a guy like that.
That would make a lot of sense. Again, if you're going to do it, you do it now. That's because you're going to get the most for him. And I think the off year may hurt that a little with Edwin. I know he past performances are, again, you're going to bring up the Mets keep coming to mind on the team that maybe you could dangle the carrot in front of and say, this is what we're going to give you. Give us one of the three big guys. Now,
well, they're not going to give you Matt Harvey or the other kid for Edwin Encarnacion.
You're talking DeGrom.
Yeah. I don't think he would. I don't think they would. I wouldn't if I was.
Would it hurt to ask?
I'm sure they've already asked.
Yeah.
I'm sure they've already asked. That's the type of deal Alex has to make, and we can help him this year and help him next year. But we get into dangerous game when you talk about trading prospects. And by the way, we're going to be joined by Rex Hudler. That's going to be. think Rex Hudler's a little surprised.
Rex Hudler,
the Kansas City Royals analyst, will join us if they can peel him off the roof
by now. He's probably doing push-ups right now as we speak.
Be a little excited about the Johnny Cueto acquisition. But, you know, the other thing you have to keep in mind, too, is, you know, it's a dangerous game when you sit there and say, well, okay, Kansas City gave up these three guys for Johnny Cueto. Why couldn't we give up these three guys?
Mm-hmm.
Again, when you're talking about pitchers, when you're talking about pitchers at the single A level,
right,
doesn't matter what Baseball America or anybody says about how they're where they're rated. It matters on what the Cincinnati Reds think they're getting. It matters on what their scouts say. It matters what their general manager thinks. You know, I love it when people say, well, if Alex had only put this guy together, and how do you know the Reds like that guy? How do you know the Reds put the same value on him that you do? And I keep telling people that the value of a player is the value in the other general manager's eyes. That's all it is.
I think it's
everything else is.
Oh, well, it's about how far you think your team is away to, and realistically, Kansas City's pretty close. They're real close, and realistically, the Blue Jays, how close are they? How close are they to making a true run at the playoffs?
Kansas City's close to winning a World Series.
100%. Yeah. Well, Johnny Cueto may give them that edge in the seventh game if it goes, you know, obviously if it would went that far. But saying Kansas City does a lot of things right. Blue Jays right now do some things really good on occasion. That's, to me, that's not going to get you to where you ultimately want to be. Is getting to the playoffs this year, if you look at the big picture, enough for the Blue Jays, understanding they're the last team standing, is that enough just to get to the playoffs? To me, on the outside looking in, I have to say no. This team, the upside, you've mentioned it, all the players that are coming up, especially on the pitching side of the ball, the upside is off the charts. Are you willing to give some of that up for a guy for the rest of the season, 62 games, I guess that's what it is, 62 games, that could get you in the playoffs? Now, you're 6.5 back, and you're 3.5 back in the wild card game. Is that realistically that one guy going to get you over the hump? I just don't see it. I think there's enough holes throughout that pitching staff that one guy is not going to help. So you take your chances the rest of the season. Maybe you call up some prospects to see what you got and go from there. But I will say the offseason is a huge – this is a turning point, I think, for this organization. Just by which way this team's going, because now you can, with the upstart in the starting five guys, you can get rid of some pieces on the offensive side of the ball because you know what you got there. You have no clue what you got in the starting five and in your bullpen, and well, you may with Sanchez and Osuna, depending on where they're going. But everywhere else, where are you going? You watch this team play, and you're on times you're so happy you're jumping up and down because you see what they have on the field, and then something happens that shouldn't be happening, and you're not excited anymore. So it's a crapshoot on what you're going to do. But to me, it makes a lot of sense. If you're not getting that one guy, then don't get anybody at all.
The Jays were 6-5 losers in extra innings to Seattle last night. Aaron Loop, who shouldn't be allowed anywhere near a right-handed bat. Aaron Loop giving up a walk-off home run. You know, Kevin, we've talked about this a lot. Look, I look at this team, and I think this team is fundamentally flawed in terms of its construction, and for a variety of reasons. Sure. And I'm not sitting here and saying that Alex Anthopoulos deliberately went out and built a fundamentally flawed team. Fact of the matter is, this team is losing because it's shy in pitching. Bullpen, starting pitching. I mean, it is. That's a fact.
Yep.
And for a variety of reasons. Not the least of which is really, I think, a failure to address the issues in the offseason. But, you know, I'm starting... I'll say this. I've been a defender of John Gibbons. I like the way he handles a bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people who are blaming him for that... that base running error at third base, don't get baseball.
Well, that's nonsense.
Well,
can't do that.
You know, Twitter
Come
was,
on.
Well, that's a sign of a team with a lack of discipline. No, it's a sign of a team that makes stupid-ass plays on the field is
right,
what it is.
100% right.
And, sorry, John Gibbons can't automatically increase Ezekiel Carrera or Kevin Pillar's baseball IQ. It's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, so look, I'll tell you where I'm coming from. I've said several times, I think given the hand he's been dealt, John Gibbons has done a real good job with this bullpen. I think he's done the best job he can with the starting rotation.
Yep.
I'll tell you what, John Gibbons has a knuckleballer, a guy who can't win on the road, a guy who was a swingman for Milwaukee last year, a 20-year-old closer breaking in to the majors. That's what he's had to manage with all year. It's not like he's had a stacked hand, and oh yeah, the guy that they thought was going to be the opening day starter, he didn't make it out of spring training because he was injured in a fielding drill.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go to my grave this year defending John Gibbons as a manager. But what the hell was Aaron Loop doing in that game?
No idea. That's a very good question. We've seen that more time. We're seeing that too many times. I think we can say it that way. To me, one time's too many. And I'm sure that John Gibbons and Pete Walker get the same stats that we get and can look at Aaron Loop's stats against righties and stats against lefties. And they are just, well, when you have over a 7 ERA against right-handers and a little over a 1 ERA against left-handers, it makes a lot of sense. And you've given up 6 home runs against righties and none against lefties.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes sense. And it was basically in the 10th inning there, it was lined up and we sort of made the joke before we came on at the air that if you're looking for Liam Hendricks to come in the game, something's wrong. Well, it added up to where Liam Hendricks this year against right-handers is dominating them because he's a hard thrower with a super hard slider, and that's the thing now. That's the two pitches that get big-time right-handers out. I'm not saying that Gutierrez is a big-time right-hander, but in the situation that was given to the Blue Jays at the time, that to me is when you bring a guy in that's had success against right-handers. And, you know, the numbers don't lie. That's all I'm saying. You have to – sometimes you do things just so you don't have to come up after the game and answer the question over and over on why you keep throwing the same guy against right-handers. It makes no sense to me. I've said that since day one, that Aaron Loop dominates – I used to be a left-handed hitter, and I used to – when you face a guy that you normally don't see, Aaron Loop throws 96 miles an hour sidearm really, really hard, down and away a lot for a left-hander. That is super, super hard. You can't hit that. If he goes down and away at 96 right there, you're not going to hit it. But right-handed hitting Aaron Loop, you see the ball a very long time. It's coming down and into a righty. Just drop the head on it. And that's what we're seeing. You see that too many times. I have an issue with that, and it's a head-scratcher. Sometimes you just have to set things up the right way. That's one of those things with John Gibbons. I'm not really understanding that. I just don't get it. I don't understand why you want Aaron Loop an entire inning. Just don't do it. It'll work itself out. You give yourself a better chance of winning games. And every one of these games now matter. Every one of them. Every pitch, every inning, every at-bat, every swing matters now. And you put guys in the right position. I just think these times with Aaron Loop, and it's been a lot this year, with Aaron Loop, it's a little bit of a head-scratcher, Jeff. That's all.
We got to talk about a couple of things out of the game yesterday and out of this road trip. Again, a 3-3 road trip. The Jays do it today off. They play the Philadelphia Phillies. They start a series against the Phillies tomorrow at the Rogers Center. And Kansas City comes in right at the trade deadline. Johnny Cueto, by the way, scheduled the pitch for the Kansas City Royals on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
It would be great to see what the reaction is to that. A couple of things we need to talk about. The play at third base yesterday. The base running mistake by Ezekiel Carrera. Kevin Pillar, who's at fault here on this play?
There's everybody, the third base coach, the base runners, everybody that was involved in that play. The play's in front of you.
I'm going to let you finish, but thank you for mentioning that, because that's one of the things that really annoyed me about this play. The play's in front of
everybody.
It's
in front of you. It's not like this. You're blindsided and you can't see the ball. You just see a lot of things wrong with that play. And, you learn these things in baseball 101 in the minor leagues. I learned these things.
You learn it in Little League.
You do. The, you know, Rivera, the third base coach, is you have to be, you know, you hate, this is what I hate. I hate blaming coaches on occasion for things, but it just, when you see things like this at the big league level, it's unacceptable. It's unacceptable at times when you're this good of a team. This is what I mentioned earlier, is when you're watching the Blue Jays team and they do things that are off the charts good. They hit pitches that you're not supposed to hit. They go first to third on balls you're not supposed to. They make some great defensive plays, and then they do that. And then you just walk away going, are you kidding me? It's because it's, you're not supposed to do these things. How do you correct them? I'm not sure if there's a way of correcting this. You maybe these are things you need to work on harder in spring training. I don't know. I don't know if there's a way of correcting this. To blame this on John Gibbons is just absurd to me, because this is a players' league. The players do the things on the field. The thing, like with Aaron Loop, putting him in the right position, yeah, that's on John Gibbons. But things of this nature, when you, you know, basically you're just running till you get tagged out. I mean, come on, Jeff. How do you even explain that? You watch it, and it's hard to explain because this is the big leagues.
That play will figure prominently in the Blue Jays' end of season. If the season ends with another playoffless appearance, that play is going to be front and center in the chronicles.
It's like you said, it's little league where you just run until you get tagged out, and it's not, you know, it's a little funny to say it, but when you actually watch it and you know, you, the way this team's set up and the things they do that are so good, and then they do one thing that overshadows everything that they do good, it's very hard to watch. That's my point. And it only takes one play in clutch situations for you to walk away going, it's, I just don't know. Everybody that was on that field that did that's at fault there. The third base coach, Pilar running, Carrera running. It's the play's in front of you. You have no excuses. There's no excuse for it. And is it too late to correct it? That's my point. It's, you know, you're only 62. You're 100 games in. If you're 20 games into the season, yeah, maybe you can understand, maybe. And still at that point, you still can't. It's unacceptable. But you're 100 games in. It's hard to accept. It's hard to accept those kind of mistakes, because the games matter. Everything matters. And when you make mistakes like this, they come back to bite you. And that's what happens here. It's, you know, what it does, a play like that, it shows your weaknesses. And it came back with the pitching, because it worked out to where, you know, you would have had a lead. It would have been pitched to different. You would have set your bullpen up differently. It didn't work out that way. And it comes back to get you, because ultimately that old saying is the ball tends to find the weakness. Well,
I guess on the good side of the weekend, Aaron Sanchez appears to have remembered how to pitch out of the bullpen.
Nasty.
That pitch he threw Taylor yesterday.
I'm with
filthy.
You. I'm
actually
with you.
I sent it out on Twitter, and Sanchez retweeted it.
I'm with you. How they don't set this guy up to be a closer, it's
make the call.
You can't. How do you hit it? That's my point. You got one pitch. He's never going to struggle, because if he can throw that one pitch near the plate, good luck. And then we're not even going to talk about other guys getting beat with their best pitch. That's Aaron Sanchez. That's his best pitch. And then you have Bo Schultz come in the game, and he's giving it up to the best hitter on the opposing team on a secondary pitch.
Yeah, I'm sure we're going to hear. I get the argument. You know, the arm is so good. You want it as a starter. Well, you had it as a starter. As a starter this year, and he got hurt.
I'm with you. Keeps him in the big spots. You're going to see him in the big spot all the time.
You know that the long range plan is for Osuna to start. So you make Osuna the starter, and you have Sanchez out of the bullpen. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's seems pretty straightforward to me. But you know, especially for an organization, yeah, we talked about this all the time. This is an organization that won't spend money on a closer, won't trade for a closer.
You have one, right?
You know, it's trying to catch lightning in a bottle. This is an organization who, I mean, if you were going to pick the poster child for the Blue Jays bullpen, it would be Steve Delabar. Lightning in a bottle, worked 1 year, made the All-Star game, gone the next year. Totally unreliable. And that's, I mean, we've seen this organization try to get by with that. And if there's one thing I have, a criticism of Alex Anthopoulos, a couple of things, but the one thing is I just think he undervalues closers. And I know there's a statistical argument for it and everything, but you know what? In this city, we've seen for a couple of years now, we certainly saw this year, a team that's had difficulty winning because it doesn't have anybody can close out a game.
Oh, yeah,
until it figured out Roberto Osuna. Until it figured out Roberto Osuna. And by that point, it was too late.
By the way, just, you mentioned Roberto Osuna. As soon as Sanchez came in the game, how much did you watch the two competing? In-game competition was really nice because Osuna was throwing 99 with that 82-mile-an-hour changeup.
Mm-hmm.
Hadn't seen him throwing that hard in a while until he comes in and sees Sanchez. And he's like, oh, yeah. That's the future of the Blue Jays, and it's a bright future. What I hope the rest of the season, even if this doesn't work out, get beat with your best pitch. Mm-hmm. If you're going to come in and pitch, get beat with your best pitch, and you can live with it after that. If not, why are you on the team? That's the point.
As we said, the Kansas City Royals acquired Johnny Cueto over the weekend. We're led to believe, and my sources have confirmed this, that the asking point, the start of negotiations between the Royals and the Blue Jays, was Marcus Stroman, at which point Alex said no, and rightly so. The Kansas City Royals had no problem adding Johnny Cueto because they're adding to a team that's already gone to the World Series. They're adding to a team with a good bullpen. They're adding to a team that plays baseball the right way. They're adding to a team that is running away with their division. Rex Hudler is a color analyst for the Kansas City Royals. And the one and only Rex Hudler will join Baseball Central when we return on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet 360.
Go here, there, and everywhere with Jeff Blair. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, welcome back to Baseball Central. The Blue Jays have today off. We do not. Jays will be back at it tomorrow against the Philadelphia Phillies. And then the Kansas City Royals come into town.
Deep breath.
Deep breath. And the Kansas City Royals, now equipped with Johnny Cueto. One of the pitchers that a sizable portion of Blue Jays fans envisioned pitching for the Blue Jays. Well, he'll be on the mound at the Rogers Center. It'll just be in the Kansas City Royals uniform. The Royals, of course, acquiring Johnny Cueto yesterday from the Cincinnati Reds for three pitching prospects, led by Brandon Finnegan, who is a centerpiece of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And the understanding, or we're led to believe, that the Reds are looking at using him as a starter. I think the Royals kind of were going back and forth on what they were going to do with him. But he'll be looked at as a starter by the Reds. And John Lamb, one of the other pitchers in the organization, he was one of the top prospects in the Royals organization a couple of years ago. He's had a pretty good year at AAA, and he'll be a useful pitcher. And Cody Reed's kind of a wild card in this. He's a hard-throwing left-hander, 22 years old. Again, if best-case scenario, I think, for the Reds in this deal, Finnegan becomes a regular contributor. Lamb becomes maybe a back-of-the-rotation guy. And, and Reed, as I said, Reed is a wild card. But for the Kansas City Royals, there's no doubt about the importance of this deal. And again, let's keep this in mind. The Kansas City Royals aren't adding Johnny Cueto to get him over the hump. They're over the hump.
Yep.
The Kansas City Royals, I think it's safe to say, are adding Johnny Cueto for the playoffs. They're adding him to a team with a lights-out bullpen, a team that plays the game the right way, a team that went to the World Series last year. Big difference between adding Johnny Cueto, a rental pitcher, to the Kansas City Royals and adding Johnny Cueto to a team like the Toronto Blue Jays. Rex Hudler is the always low-key, always measured, always unexcitable color analyst of the Kansas City Royals. Rex Hudler joins us on Baseball Central. You're not very excited this morning, are you?
Jeff, top of the afternoon to you, buddy.
How are
you?
I thought about you yesterday. Honestly, anytime something happens with the Royals, my first thought is, I wonder how Rex is handling this. What were your thoughts yesterday when you heard that the Royals got Johnny Cueto?
Oh, it was an emotional roller coaster all day long. Getting to the ball, actually leaving the night before after the Royals walked off for the fourth time this year at home, the Houston Astros. There was rumors on our post-game show that the Cueto deal had gone, and then it was nixed at the last minute. Someone didn't pass a physical. So the rumors were flying around the next day. Yesterday, we get to the ballpark. You know, we were hearing that the deal was done. And then my partner Ryan Lefevre went in and did his weekly radio show with Dayton Moore, the great general manager of the Royals. And Dayton told him before yesterday's game, there's been no deal. I don't know where anybody's getting all this from. Sure enough, about the fourth or fifth inning, they came over and made the announcement. And, man, it was a wonderful thing to be able to feel for these Kansas City Royals people who have lost for years, 29 years to be exact, until last season, and they got to the promised land. But, you know, they just fell two runs short of their goal. And they came to camp this year, this team ready. You know, they didn't have the best starting rotation, but when you have a bullpen that's deeper than it was last year, with the addition of Hochaver, who missed Tommy John last year, he was out all year, and Ryan Matson, a former closer for the Phillies and a possible comeback player of the year. You add those two guys to HDH, Holland, Davis, Herrera. Now your starter's only got to go five innings. And then when they mentioned Johnny Cueto to go with Volquez, Duffy, and Ventura, now all of a sudden the rotation has four monsters in it. And believe me, with that defense and bullpen, and they're hitting, they're averaging over four runs a game. That's all it takes, man. It's going to be beautiful. Now, they haven't won nothing yet, Jeff. And the guys we gave them, you were well-schooled on them. I couldn't tell you any more than what you just told your people, because you're exactly right on. But, man, is it going to be fun the rest of the way? Every day's been fun. Sell-out houses at Kauffman Stadium, passionate fans with energy, are propelling this ball club to heights it's never seen before.
Rex, you make me want to go out and buy tickets.
Yeah. I want to go run laps.
Barker wants to run laps. Hey, before I throw you over to Barker, and Barker quite often does want to run laps to get out of here usually. Before I put you over into Barker's clutches, I did want to ask you, one of the things that, you know, there was some concern about Johnny Cueto's health at times this year with Cincinnati. I exchanged texts with a guy in the Blue Jays organization yesterday, and he made the point that, you know what, Kansas City is the perfect place for him to go because it's nothing major. It might be a little thing. And he said, you know what, with that team, if he's got to skip a start, big deal. You know, the guy that's replacing him is going to be good. Like it's, and you've also got a 7.5 game lead. So if there's a team that can kind of baby Johnny Cueto for the postseason, mm-hmm. Rex, it's the Royals.
And don't forget, Jeff, the cavernous ballpark.
Yes.
Of the K. Mm-hmm. It is a huge yard. He's going from a bandbox ballpark in Cincinnati, where I could even hit home runs, to a place where I would have to hit it twice to get it out. So you tell me what pitcher don't want to pitch there. It's mm-hmm. a beautiful thing. Cueto is going to join Volquez, Ventura, some fellow Dominican Republican guys. And you know, look, it's just a match made in heaven. All the way around the last couple of months, people have been pointing towards Cueto. They were saying the Royals didn't have the resources or the talent, and I say hogwash. They have both. They have resources, believe me, and they have the talent in the minor leagues to get what they need. Dayton Moore knows he's got a small window. These young horses aren't going to stay together forever, so why not go for the gusto in 15? Mm-hmm. When he hired me in 2012, told me that 2014 would be the year the Royals would get to postseason, and he's right on. Can you believe that he built that beautiful team in just eight short years, 7 years, yeah, including last year? Fun to watch these guys. They're active, and I'll be surprised if there's not four gold gloves out of the Royals at the end of the year.
Rex, I'm with you with all these things, but realistically, the third game, you get in the playoffs, and you got Edison Volquez, you got Johnny Cueto. Who's next? I know Ventura is, you know, he's a kid, and I think that's the way you can describe it. Danny Duffy is I guess he's trying to come into his own. So it's going to take, I'm guessing, with that team, the way the bullpen is, it's going to take three starters. So who's the third guy?
You mentioned him. Man, did you see what Ventura did against the Houston Astros with one of the best offenses in baseball yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, he shut them down. Six strong. Duffy went seven.
Mm-hmm.
Look. And before that, he went eight. These two kids have 98. They've got some cheddar cheese and some fuzz. And if they keep it out of the middle and they use their yak and changeups, unhittable. They pitch underneath bats, power bats. And in the postseason where pitching becomes a commodity, how are you going to score runs, you power-hitting teams?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The Royals, they set the blueprint last year on how to do it with no homers. They don't walk. They don't strike out. They put the ball in play, and they pressure defenses, and they beat whoever with the plus 43 run differential between their opponents and them from the seventh inning on. They're punking bullpens, closers. They don't care. This is a multi-talented star lineup, 1-9 offensively for Ned Yost. Lorenzo Cain is driving the Royal bus. Salvi and Gordon's been out for 2 weeks, and they haven't lost a beat. They've got players, Escobar leading off. Man, and I'll tell you, Rios, Infante, and Dyson, those guys at the bottom of the order, the last four or five wins of the Royals have all come off of bats from their 7, 8, and 9 hitters. They're well-balanced. They save runs. They're 43-plus runs saved, best in baseball by far. Guys, they pitch, they defend, and they hit. Who can beat them?
That's a good question.
I'm ready. I don't even know why we bother playing the rest of the season. Just bring the World Series on. Seriously. Hey, Rex, guys, what?
You got to execute. There's no question about that.
Right.
But, man, I'm telling you, for the overall consistency of the team and how hungry they are and how they pressure and they want to win every single game, it makes this team tough.
Hey, Rex, what do you think this team learned about itself last year? And what have you seen this year from this team that you weren't seeing last year?
Last season, they knew they were good. It took Raul Ibanez, a veteran grandfather, to come over and tell these players, hey, look, guys, do you have any idea what the opposing teams are saying about you? Well, let me tell you. Ibanez was with the Angels before he came to the Royals, and he said, these teams are saying you guys cannot be beat. You guys are the toughest team. You never give up. You're so dangerous. You're bullpen. So, look, it's time to start playing like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when they got to the postseason and it took 14 innings, but they beat the Oakland A's in a miraculous fashion, 8 stolen bases. They never relented. They never gave in. They were down by 4 against Lester. They came back and beat them and finished off and ran off 8 straight postseason wins. That's never been done in the history of baseball. They all of a sudden said, oh, now we know who we are. Now we know what we can do. Lorenzo Cain was the AL MVP in the championship series, and now he is a third-place hitter that carries a lethal bat. He knows what he can do. Moustakas went from being sent to the minors hitting 210 to hitting 300 right now, and he's doing a great job in the number 2 hole.
What's the difference with him? Rex, what's the difference with Moustakas this year?
Shortened up, started using left field with a 2-strike approach, started bunting, started using that left field. That's why you hit for a higher average by using the whole field.
Mm-hmm.
Moose thought he had to hit, 25, 30 home runs. He's a more complete player now. Plus, he's got 10 homers. He's got, he's going to hit 15 to 20 this year. So he's not a punch and Judy number 2 hole guy. He's getting on base, he's scoring runs. Not driving him in like he did last year or like he wanted to last year. But that using the opposite field has made a whole difference for Moose.
Rex.
Guys, we haven't even talked about Kendrys Morales. He's tied for the RBI lead in the American League this year. What an acquisition.
You were going to ask him about Morales, weren't you?
Actually, I was going to ask you about Ned Yost, but you can go with him.
No. Let's talk about Ned. Ned's the most improved skipper there is in baseball. And I can tell you why. It took him a while to start trusting his coaches because he's had different coaches and different moves over the last 4 years. And now he's got Dale Swaim, former big league manager, Wakamatsu, former big league manager. He's got Dave Island, who's one of the greatest pitching coaches there is, dealing with that bullpen and all those starters and helping these guys. So he's entrusting them. He's asking them. We see huddles in the dugout now of the team, of the coaches, and everybody talking to one another. It's a totally different environment than it was when I got here in 12. Mm. Ned Yost is a much different manager for the better.
Mr. Hudler, we're going to let you run, man. It's always good to talk to you. Should be. It's going to be a fun summer. It's going to be a fun summer the rest of the summer.
Yeah, you're the best, Rex.
Fellas, but look, after we spanked the tribe here in Cleveland, we get to come to Toronto. I can't wait. And Jennifer's coming with me. She wants to see how beautiful the city is.
Nice. We'll look forward to seeing you, Rex, as always.
Thanks, guys.
You be well. That's Rex Hudler, the excitable Rex Hudler, Kansas City Royals color analyst.
Best team ever. Sounds like
they are.
They're a really good team.
And I'm going to give you credit because you were on the Royals bandwagon at the start of the year, and I was kind of going, I can see wild card. You know what? If you're going to pick the Royals after the type of year they had last year, if you're going to pick the Royals to be a wild card team, that was kind of a lame thing. If you're going to pick them to go back to the playoffs, pick them to go as a division champion. Go big or go home.
Well, they got a good catcher. They get big hits. They shorten the game and they play great defense.
They are.
What more do you need?
Yeah. They are, I was going to say, between them and St. Louis, a gold standard. Remember how it used to be that the power base in Major League Baseball was on the East Coast, then it went to the West Coast. Now it's Kansas City and St. Louis. Two best-run franchises in baseball are Kansas City and St. Louis. Pretty close together. You know what time it is, by the way? Batter up! It's time for Parker Goes Yard! All right, now I gave you credit for the Kansas City Royals. But I want you to give me credit
on your man crush
on Alex Rodriguez. What did I say at the start of the year? Said maybe 20 to 30 homers. You laughed at me. Alex Rodriguez, 23 home runs so far.
Mm-hmm.
He's got an OPS of 914, which is the best he's had in 5 years. Alex Rodriguez, comeback player of the year, not any doubt at all, is there?
Well, there you go. But Saturday night against the Minnesota Twins, he hit three home runs. He's the fifth oldest player in the last 100 years to hit three home runs in a game. Can you name one of them? Four guys are before him.
Johnny Mize?
No.
I give up.
Babe Ruth. That's one of them.
Back off the bat.
Who are the rest of them?
I don't want to tell you, but
you don't want to tell me.
Yeah, well, I could. John B., Reggie Jackson, and Stan Musial.
All right, there you are.
I thought you would know that, being a guy that knows everything. I thought you would know that.
I don't know everything.
At least I know this, though.
If I went to Cooperstown this weekend, and by the way, congratulations to Pedro, Randy, John Smoltz, and Craig Biggio. If I saw John Rocker, I'd go up and ask John Rocker for his autograph.
This is what you do. Well, you could have done that Friday and Saturday from 10 to 2 in a shop in Cooperstown. John Rocker was charging $25 to write bad words on an autograph. So you could go up and say, John, for $25, can you write this? And if I did, I would have went, hey, this is what I want you to write, John. Hey, Jeff.
Go.
Bleep yourself.
Bleep yourself. $25. If it was just to my friend Jeff, it would be 20, right?
Love John Rocker.
There you go.
Fly ball here to left center. Way
I love that.
Back and gone.
$25.
I would do that.
For $25?
Hell yeah.
You would pay $25 for a guy to do that?
I think John Rocker deserves credit for being original.
Yeah.
Tell me about the Port Charlotte Stone Crabs.
That's
what do I need to know about them?
Well, on Friday night, they were greeted by a 10-foot alligator in the visiting clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
I have to ask you, Jeff, what is the weirdest thing you were greeted by when you showed up at work before? What's the weirdest thing?
You.
Pitch whacked deep left field. Yes, sir. Let's admire that one. There she goes.
Me?
Yeah. Actually, that's not true. I can't tell you what the weirdest thing I've been greeted with. It was a few years ago. It was on my 30th birthday. We don't want to go there.
Me?
No. For Rex Hudler, who's probably still talking, for Kevin Barker, who's totally beside himself, I'm Jeff Blair saying thanks for joining us in Baseball Central. Don't forget, Buffalo Bisons baseball tonight. Jays will be back at it tomorrow. Brady and Walker next. Have a great day, everybody.